So tonight, when I was driving here, there was a lot of traffic, and I realized that everyone was probably out doing their Christmas shopping. And it's that wonderful season with there's music and lights and trees and presents and food and lots of emotion, joy and happiness and anticipation and stress and all kinds of things. I've always thought there was a kind of beauty to this season. But tonight I'd like to offer you something that I hope you'll be able to see as beautiful, because I do. And it is so plain, and it is so simple. And it's a koan from the Mumonkan, case number 7. Joshu says, wash your bowls. Here's the main case. A monk said to Joshu, I have just entered this monastery. I beg you to teach me. Joshu asked, have you eaten your rice gruel? I have, replied the monk. Then, said Joshu, go and wash your bowls. The monk had an insight. I told you it was plain. It's so simple. It's really easy to pass it up, to miss the depth of this particular koan. So when we look at koan, one way to start is to look at sort of the characters that are in it and what's their frame of mind. So we have here a monk. And sometimes the monks are kind of arrogant, or they come with different frames of mind. But this one seems quite sincere. And at the end of this koan, they say he had an insight. So it probably would indicate that he had some experience. He wasn't coming in new. The other character here is Joshu. And often he's not even referred to just as Joshu. He's referred to as the great master Joshu. He's described as a person whose lips flashed light, or he has like 17 koan in the Mumonkan and the Hekigan Roku. He entered a local temple as a boy, and at 18 he took vows as a monk. He was a student of Nansen's for 40 years. And after Nansen died, he went on a pilgrimage for 20 more years. He started teaching at 80. And they say he taught for 40 more years. So I always had some difficulty hearing about Nansen. He always seemed like so bigger than life. And I don't know, it somehow didn't fit with what he was saying here. And then one day I read what Joshu wrote about himself as he got older. This is what he said. It really touched me. He said, the cock crows in the early morning. Sadly, I see as I rise how worn out I am. I haven't a kilt or a shirt, just the semblance of a robe. My loincloth has no seat, my pants no opening. On my head there are 3 or 5 pecks of gray ashes. Originally, I practiced to help save others. Who would have expected that instead I would become an idiot? Don't be fooled by that last line. Joshu never hit. He never shouted. He didn't use beautiful words and phrases. He was simple and ordinary, and lived his life. And it was from this that his teachings were so profound. So let's look at this koan. What's going on here? He says, have you eaten your rice gruel? Then wash your bowl. Is he asking questions? Is he giving a teaching? What's up with this? Have you eaten your rice gruel? Well, one possibility is, you know, students come to this practice with big questions, big ideas, you know, lots of concepts, many concerns. And this might have been just a response to bring the monk down to earth. Don't look for Zen instruction. Just be present in this ordinary world. It takes a lot of practice to cultivate a kind of mindfulness of being present and sensitive to what's going on instead of entering into ideas. So that's a possibility. He also might have been asking, have you really eaten your rice gruel? Like, did you smell it? Did you taste it? Did you feel it in your mouth as you chewed it? Might have been asking, did you do it instead of just going like a check sheet, like wake up in the morning at the alarm, check. Get dressed, check. Eat your rice gruel, check. Done. There's a kind of depth of presence that's required in this practice. My little Zen calendar had a saying by Si Yung. He said, to eat all day, yet not swallow a grain of rice. To walk all day, yet not tread an inch of ground. To be inseparable from things the livelong day, yet not be deluded by them. This is to be a man who is at ease with himself. So maybe that's what was up. Have you eaten your rice gruel? Some could say he's asking, are you enlightened yet? Have you had an awakening? Then wash your bowl. What's past is past. Wipe it away. Let it go. So all those are possible. There's a commentary on this. It says, Joshu opened his mouth and showed his gallbladder, his heart, and his liver. If the monk hearing him failed to grasp the truth, he would mistake a bell for a pot. I think, rather than any of these things, the bowl washing is not a metaphor for anything else. Maybe I just have to get much more intimate with this. We have sometimes this idea, and in many traditions, there's this idea of transcending material things so you can enter the spiritual realm. And then we project a path to get from where we are to this other, more spiritual place. In Zen, we learn to see the material world as it is and have no difference between the actual material world we live in each moment and what we call the spiritual realm. No difference. Much of Zen training is an effort enter the world at this depth. A young monk came to study with Sho Zenji. Where shall I enter the novitiate? Do you hear the sound of the mountain stream? Sho Zenji asked. Yes, answered the monk. Then enter there. Pay attention. To pay attention is to appreciate each thing. Do you feel the cool of the doorknob when you touch it? Then enter there. Do you hear the sound of the bell? Then enter there. Do you feel your seat on the cushion? Then enter there. Every moment presents an opportunity to enter there. There is a verse for this. It says, because it is so very clear, it takes long to come to realization. If you know at once that light is light, you know the meal has long been cooked. There's another translation of this that I think might be clearer. It says, it is too clear, and so it's hard to see. A fool once searched for fire with a lighted lantern. Had he known what fire was, his rice would have been cooked sooner. Dogen says, nothing in the world is hidden. Everything there is right here on the surface. There are no hidden depths. My little Zen calendar said, a scholar felt his master had been holding back Zen's central secrets from him. During a walk in the mountains, the master asked if the scholar could smell the fragrance of the full-blown mountain laurels. Yes, said the scholar. You see, said the master, I'm holding nothing back from you. If you really knew this for yourself, what impact would it have on your relationship to the world? Try this experiment. Imagine what it would be like if everything you saw and heard was all there was. You don't have to add anything. You don't have to take anything away. What if things are exactly the way they appear, with nothing hiding? Wash your bowls has no hidden meaning. It's naturally living your life the way your life really is. So during Zazen, we learn to pay attention to our lives, being with our lives just as they are. This thought, this pain in the knee, just this. So what gets in the way? Well, sometimes it's just a habit of self-concern. How am I doing? Is this good? Is it right? Is it wrong? Why do we have to do this? If only, if only, if only. So you really don't have to do anything. Just let go of this clinging mind by coming back to practice. Moment to moment. All moments are vast. They're unknowable. They're empty. And they're impermanent. Not to look at and get carried away, but simply be aware of it in each activity of life. My wonderful teacher, Richard, had a beautiful poem about this, my favorite. I want to read it to you. From the Book of Enough. The Book of Enough has long ago been written, though it's always about today. It has neither publisher nor price, but only a condition for its opening, which is to sit quietly, letting go of all comparisons and all compulsion to describe, indeed letting go willingly of all commentary whatsoever. And then letting go of all goal or expectation, that by doing so, the book will open. You will find that your enough must equal its enough. Then you have only to wait patiently, and it will open. You will be reminded of obvious things, such as pre-existent perfection in all things. Though the engines of the human day drive the fantasy of life along a track of time and gain and loss, you will find here no before and after, no success and failure. For example, those trees in all their panoply of spring, those little touches of red and pink and infinite green, those trunks in their unique configuration, as you look with patience beyond all waiting, you will be nourished by the revelation of your own sufficiency that is identical to this obvious enough. Likewise, in shining droplets of morning dew on grass and shadows on the ground in early morning. You are alive, and then you're not. It's easy to forget that this is the case. Our life moments come, and then they dissolve. Each moment is new, and then gone forever. So what are we to do? Well, why not just dive right in? Dive right into your practice. Dive into bowing, into eating, into cleaning, into brushing your teeth. Don't wish for anything. Don't complain about anything. Just be kind to everything you encounter. The pain, the judgments, the boredom, the tiredness. So how do you manifest this kindness? Just to notice each moment and then come back to practice. You only get one life. Your life bursting forth in every don't know moment. You are enough. Hold to your practice. Enter there. We'll have the four vows.